Welcome to Local Talk, the Friday edition on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarb. I'm your host for the hour with station manager and engineer Mike Murphy. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Any plans for the weekend?
Well, this weekend is the Iowa Irish Fest in Waterloo.
Over in Waterloo, you're going to make a trek over there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, never been there, but I enjoy a good Irish Fest.
I'm sure you will. Hey, Stranger Than Fiction is going to be at Snooze Hill at 6:30 this evening. And Burning Sensations are going to... All it had was cornbread. Now, is that the depot?
Yeah, on Main there.
Place I'm not familiar with. That was on their website, but they also included Prairie Moon, 3 p.m. Sunday. So that should be a great way to spend a Sunday out at the Prairie Moon Brewery. And there is a full slate of Local Talk guests in the wings, so to speak, this fifth day of August 2022. It's currently 65 degrees. The forecast is hot again today with a high of 94. And from hot to very hot Saturday with a temperature of 99. 95 on Sunday with rain in the forecast and plenty of sunshine next week. 79 on Monday, 85 on Tuesday, and back in the 90s on Wednesday and Thursday. Renee Kloss will be on later this hour but first here's Dennis Hart with a summary of the news from our local newspaper.
New questions about where that planned Ames Aquatic Center might be built. The coronavirus is not done with Iowa yet. And new efforts to keep the weekend before Iowa State classes start sane and sober. All made news in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's paper, which reported that the planned construction of the Ames Aquatic Center had run into rough sailing because the land on which it's supposed to be built is contaminated with a variety of pollutants. Several months ago, the city council had settled on a site at 122 North Oak Avenue in Ames, just north of the Iowa Department of Transportation main offices on Lincoln Way. The Oak Avenue site is where the former St. Cecilia Catholic Elementary School was, and it's owned by the Department of Transportation. The city hopes to make a final decision about that site so it can take the project out to bid this summer and start construction next year. But now, another possible site for the Aquatic Center has been identified, O'Neill Park on South 4th Street. The council could make a decision about that site at next Tuesday's meeting. All this coming 3 years after Ames voters turned down a bond issue that would have built a healthy life center. The Oak Avenue site used to be where oil, gas, and coal companies operated. There were bulk oil stations, filling stations, and gas tanks buried underground. And asbestos has been found in existing buildings on the site. Also last week, word that the coronavirus continued to spread around the state. The Iowa Health Department reported 5,924 new virus cases, an average of 846 cases a day. That's 10% higher than the week before and the highest number since the end of March. Hospitalizations from the virus went down to 249 people, 7 less than the week before. And 23 more deaths from the coronavirus were reported, raising the total number of deaths to 9,782 since the pandemic started. The Trib also reported on a new Des Moines Register poll, showing that though most Iowans see spiraling prices as a critical issue heading into the November midterm election, nearly 2/3 say their personal finances are about the same as they were a couple of years ago, or they say they're better off. 41% of poll respondents say their financial situation is about the same. Another 22% say they're better off than they were a couple of years ago. 35% say their finances are worse off. Saturday's Trib reported that another new Des Moines Register poll showed an overwhelming majority of Iowans, Democrat and Republican, rural and city-dwelling, young and old, believe things in the United States are on the wrong track. 84% of Iowans believe that, 17 percentage points higher than in March, while only 10% say things are heading in the right direction. 65% of Democrats say the country is headed in the wrong direction. 95% of Republicans believe it's on the wrong track. Also last week, word that Iowa health officials had confirmed the presence of a brain-eating amoeba in Lake of Three Fires in Taylor County. That's an amoeba typically found in warm freshwaters, such as lakes, rivers, and ponds. It can cause a life-threatening brain infection when water containing it rushes up the nose and reaches the brain. The news confirmed health officials' suspicions that a Missouri resident who died of the infection earlier this month had contracted the illness while swimming in the lake. There was also word that state officials had confirmed two spotted lanternflies had been found in Dallas County. Spotted lanternflies are a black weevil-like bug with white spots. They feed on grapes and vines and walnut, maple, and oak trees. Experts say it's too early to know what their potential impact will be in Iowa, but they say it's important for everyone to keep their eyes out for them. Anyone who sees one should report it to the Iowa State University Plant and Insect Diagnosis Clinic or to the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Sunday's paper reported that those orange and black migratory monarch butterflies are now endangered and one step closer to facing extinction. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature added the migrating monarch to its list of threatened species last month and categorized it as endangered, which is two steps away from being extinct. The group estimates the population of monarch butterflies in North America has declined between 22% and 72% over the past 10 years, depending on the measurement method. Here in Iowa, millions of monarchs cross the state each fall on their way to winter roosting sites in the forests of Mexico. The Trib also reported that Ames Middle School teacher Katrina Williams would be heading to Texas this week to watch the launch of a space rocket. She'll be there to see the launch of New Shepard, the reusable rocket transport system used by the private aerospace and spaceflight company Blue Origin. Williams will be joined by her daughter Victoria, who is an eighth grader at the middle school. Earlier in the year, Williams had been recognized as one of five winners in the nationwide Trailblazing STEM Educator Award. And there was a front-page feature story about Everett's Flowers on Main Street in Ames. It's the city's oldest flower shop, and it's celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. It was founded in 1922 at 208 Main Street by Ernest and Jenny Everts. It's been sold several times since then, always to an Everts employee, and it's moved a couple of times, once to Burnett Avenue, then to its current spot at 329 Main. It's widely known as the store with a cat, a live cat, in the window. Tuesday's paper had word that Iowa's recent experiences with those windstorms known as derechos were raising concerns among climate experts about what might be next. Four derechos have hit the state in the past 2 years, one of them accompanied by a massive dust storm known as a haboob. That was likely the first major dust storm in the state since the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s. The increase in wind events is accelerating soil erosion. A recent study looking at topsoil loss in Iowa and other big corn-growing states showed erosion has scraped away topsoil in one-third of the region since large-scale farming began about 160 years ago. Each year, soil erosion, mostly on hills and slopes, costs Iowa and other Midwestern farmers nearly $3 billion in lost production. And that, experts say, is likely to get worse without increased conservation efforts. And there was word about something that's going to happen in Ames this Sunday. It's a pop-up market in the parking lot of the downtown Fairway store at 619 Burnett Avenue. This market will feature an abstract art activity, live music, food trucks, and more than 50 vintage and handmade vendors. It will also include vintage furniture and clothing. The pop-up market will open at 11 on Sunday morning and run until 4 in the afternoon. Wednesday's paper reported that a former Ames resident was sentenced to life in prison without the chance of parole for killing a woman. A Story County judge called what 27-year-old Oscar Chavez did to Maria Hanyan in Ames, in the judge's words, nothing less than torture. Last August, Chavez beat, assaulted, and shot Hanyan 7 times. He claimed he did it because he thought she had given him HIV. It turned out she did not have HIV. The judge said, again in her words, I need to protect the community from you, Mr. Chavez, then sent him to prison for life. There was also word that Iowa State University students would have the chance to experience a new welcome to campus in a few weeks as the university expands its efforts to encourage better behavior during what's traditionally been a party-heavy weekend. University administrators have asked for faculty and staff to support Cyclone Welcome Weekend. That's being described as a new event on August 19th and 20th for all new and returning students. Classes on campus start August 22nd. The Saturday before the fall semester starts is known as 801 Day, and it's been associated with rowdy and often drunken behavior. The new weekend, which is designed to avoid some of that, will include a cookout, breakfast, outdoor movie nights, bingo, and even a hypnotist. And there was a front-page story with a happy ending about Rummage Rampage in Ames and a quilt. seems a quilt had accidentally been dropped off at the community garage sale, which started last weekend and continues through tomorrow. That quilt was made by Dawn Taylor's grandmother. Dawn was moving from Ames to Austin, Texas, and when she found out the quilt had accidentally been dropped off, she contacted Rummage Rampage organizers. The city of Ames posted a photo of that quilt, saying the family would like it back. And they got it back, because whoever had bought it returned it. So all's well that ends well. Yesterday's Trib reported that a Story County jury had found a Colorado man guilty of first-degree murder and child endangerment in the death of a 2-year-old Ames boy. Trevin Nicholson of Centennial, Colorado, faces life in prison after he was found guilty in the death of Ethan Altick. The little boy died in April of last year after emergency responders found him suffering from severe trauma, including bruising and swelling to his head. The boy's mother, Danielle Obrecht, told investigators that Nicholson, who was her boyfriend, had been watching her son while she was at work. She did not seek immediate care for her child, and she was charged in connection with his death. She reached a plea deal on 2 counts of child endangerment and faces 10 years in prison on each count. And there was word that there were fewer abortions in Iowa last year than in 2020. That marked the first time in 3 years that the annual number of abortions had gone down in the state. There were 3,761 abortions in Iowa last year, 7% less compared to 2020, when 4,058 abortions were performed in the state. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, taking my leave now, but planning to make a return visit to Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll report on what's been making news around Iowa. I hope you can be here as well, and I hope, as always, that we both have a safe, happy, and healthy weekend. Just
and my Johnny too. No, I'm not asking much of you. Just sing, little dog, sing with me. I'll be your Emmy Lou and I'll be your Julie. You'll be my Graham and my Johnny too. No, I'm not asking much of you. Just sing, little darling, sing. Just sing, little darling, sing.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News. And yes, have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend. And the music interlude was First Aid Kit with a tribute to Emmylou Harris for the Polar Music Prize Laureate. That was Emmylou, and I'll be your Emmylou, and I'll be your June, if you'll be my Graham and my Johnny too. Some powerful escapism there. And here's more food for thought. Welcome to Local Talk, Renee Claus.
I would try to say your last name, but I think I'd probably just
not do
very well with it.
I go by Pat. It's a lot simpler.
But I know. Three letters. We're good.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be on KHOI this morning because I am calling with Lexi Rizdahl, who's also on the Zoom with us this morning. And we're calling about Gilbert Days happening this weekend up in Gilbert, Iowa, 50105. And it is really going to be a fun weekend. We have a lot of really awesome things planned. We kick it off tonight at 6 p.m. with a beer garden in front of the Open Flame restaurant. And then Neil Hewitt from Nevada is going to be playing from 7 to 11 tonight. That's kind of our kickoff, but we are really ready for this community to show its sunshine up here.
You're going to have a beautiful sunset, I predict. The weather's been just perfect for being outside and enjoying Gilbert, Iowa.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Lexi.
Thank you.
Have you had all year to prepare for this, or what's the conception of your event?
No, we started, Gilbert Days has been an annual event throughout the town, throughout history, but this year our committee took it over really at the beginning of April. So it's just been a few short months throwing everything we can together. Yeah, it's been a busy couple months, but hopefully it's all worth it tonight and tomorrow, just seeing everyone out there having a great time.
Are you a long-term resident of Gilbert?
I actually went to Gilbert High School, and then I coach cheerleading up there now. So I've been Gilbert born and raised, and it's still my hometown. So it means a lot to me that I'm able to do this for our community.
You're cheering the good causes of Gilbert, Iowa. That's just great.
Yeah.
So are there things planned throughout the evening?
Yeah, so tonight, Renee went over our big kickoff with Neil Hewitt, and then Saturday is just going to be a PAX day, starting as early as 8 a.m. We have our Mile to Main Run hosted by the Gilbert Track and Cross Country teams, and our community breakfast right at the end of that route hosted by our cheer team, and then we go into just even more activities with the sand volleyball tournament, fire department, water wars. We have an arts and crafts garden, our family fun zone with inflatables, and we have live music throughout the entire day. So it's going to be a full busy day with so many different things to do.
Boy, that's quite a lineup. Now, and water wars, is that a competitive activity?
Yes. So fire departments, actually, it's very big with them. They do it at the state level and they compete. So that's something I learned about this year and I'm super excited to see. But it's a 2-versus-2 competition between, we have a bunch of fire departments coming in from all over Iowa to compete it out.
Oh, I bet the kids love that with all the fire trucks coming to town.
Yes.
Well, the fun thing is it's a bucket on a tethered line up above, and then they literally take the hoses and try to get it to the opposite side, and that's who wins, whoever actually pushes the bucket to the other end. So I think the crowd's gonna get a little wet at this point, so that'll be super fun. And it might cool things down a little bit, Pat, you
right,
know?
Yeah. See, I envision two water hoses going after each other in like a rope pull competition. But so it's all about moving the bucket.
It's all about moving a bucket on a kind of a above head or above crowd position, so everybody can see it up and down Main Street. It's going to be right on First and Main, so you can't miss it. I think it's going to be super cool. The other thing that we're super excited about is the Gilbert Tractor Club, which has got a very big history up here. I don't know, they've been in the Ames 4th of July parade and over the years and done a lot of different things. They're going to have a big showing at the very end of Main, and there's going to be the pedal tractor pull. So little kids pulling weights and doing a little leg power up there. But then one of our community members bought a 1906 Case IH tractor and steam engine tractor. So he's going to bring that out and really do some cool things. We're going to have the new whistle bell and everything with the steam engine. So super excited about that.
Yeah.
And then the music starts at 11 with music by Neva, and she's going to play a lot of covers, but she's just going to be a junior in high school, but she's got some pipes on her that's really impressive. Oh. And then of course we're going to have the Collective Indifference from 2 to 4, and then a local Gilbert couple is going to do some music, you know, kind of like a jukebox style, play some of the greatest hits, and I think a little bit of karaoke from 5 to 7. Lexi?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then our big headliner on Saturday night is Tank, and that is going to be really fun. He's going to play from 8 until midnight, I believe, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a beer garden. You can come into the beer garden, and if you would like, if obviously if you're 21, but I think all of Gilbert might be able to hear Tank on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, that's quite a lineup. That's a lot to find interesting, for sure, hour upon hour.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Neva, that's in high school.
Yes, yes. She doesn't attend Gilbert High School, but she actually, I got married in December, and she sang at my wedding, and I was so impressed with this gal because she's so wonderful. She just has a definite love of music, and she sings multiple genres. She was just out in Colorado and was at a local campsite, and one of the bands that was playing at this campsite, she asked if she could participate with them, and so she sang Jolene right there with no
yeah.
So I think it's fun, and she kind of gets the crowd going and does kind of a sing along with cover songs. So
well, congratulations on your marriage, and you're spreading the good news, the good vibes into the next summer. What a
that's what I was hoping to do. So I'm thinking everybody's gonna really like her. I think the big headliner, Tank, I have never seen him before, but I think Lexi is kind of a huge fan.
Oh.
Yeah, I have seen Tank multiple times. He's one of my favorites. He's probably one of my favorite local bands, but he's got his full band coming, so it's going to be just like a concert. Every time I see him, he's very involved with the crowd. You just kind of get engulfed with his music, and it's just it's so much fun when he comes to play. So I'm really excited that we get to have him at Gilbert Days.
And I'm hearing kind of a grassroots theme here that of what touches your heart, you're going to share forward. That's pretty cool.
Well, it was pretty funny because George Niang's golf tournament was here last weekend, and I was talking to several people that would go through back and forth, and he was able to raise like $135,000 for the local Boys and Girls Club. But Whoa. It gave me this opportunity to talk to a lot of people that have the Boys and Girls in this area. And so I'm thinking the Free Families Fun Zone is going to pull a lot of those kids that are in town right now up to Gilbert this weekend. Because I'll tell you what, we are a fun thing happening, and those kids need to get out, and we're not too far away. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm sure you will see what happens, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are looking forward to it. So that almost sounds like another story with George Nyang and his fundraising for Gilbert.
Oh, he did. Well, and it was for the Ames Boys and Girls Club, okay. But it was just an opportunity to talk and connect with people in our community. And that's why we like being on KHOI, you know, talking about, I mean, kind of Lexi and I joked the other night at our meeting, we kind of said, you know what, if people don't know about Gilbert Days, it's not for a lack of trust.
There you go. There you go. Well, we got a couple minutes. Is there something we really need to emphasize here?
Well, the last thing that I kind of am pushing, because I'm kind of the sponsor of it, is our art garden. So if the kids aren't into jumping around or watching the water wars or getting on a tractor, our RE/MAX Real Estate Center is going to be doing an art garden. We're doing Gilbert porch boards. We're doing rock painting. So if you want to get some inspiration, rocks in your garden, you can do that, or worry stone or something like that. You can paint rocks. We're going to do some picture pages. And then, of course, we're making fans, watermelon and patriotic fans. So, yeah, that's going to be fun, too. I mean, it's really like all this stuff is starting to come together. And living up here has just been different for me because I lived in Ames for most of my life. And now I'm up here touting how great Gilbert is.
I love it. Yeah, your enthusiasm comes across very well.
Good,
Renee,
good. That's
so, Renee Klaus, any parting words, Lexi Risdahl?
Yeah, lastly, I just want to thank all of our sponsors and everyone on our committee in the community that has helped put on this event. It's not possible without people. And we have amazing sponsors. Most of them are actually involved in doing something in the event. So that's super amazing that not only do they want to give a donation, but they also just want to be a part of this amazing event. And our committee members, it's been a lot of late nights, random phone calls, last minute things. So really everyone's been troopers. And I just want to give a big thanks and shout out to all of them.
And that's all going to kick off at 6 p.m. this evening?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on Local Talk and including all your enthusiasm for a great community of Gilbert, Iowa, and all the best for a stunning weekend of good weather and good fun.
Thanks for the wish on the sunset this evening. We'll look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, it should be good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you there. It is approaching 7:30 and 30 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to KHOI Community Radio on 89.1 FM. So we're going to have Mary Rankin and also Susan Quiasta. Welcome to Local Talk.
Hey, Pat. Great to be here. Yes. What a great morning it is.
Well, it is. It's welcome to the Friday edition. And
good morning.
And here's Mary Rankin, and Bill Schmidt is going to be included. You guys have been the busiest people in Ames, I'm sure.
It has been a tremendous week. Before we get into Rummage Rampage, which we're going to talk about, I just want to remind all your listeners that next Tuesday, August 9th, is a city council meeting. We will be discussing at that city council meeting a potential site for the new indoor aquatic center. And the mayor will be taking public input regarding people's feedback on that site selection. So if you can't make the meeting, Tuesday, August 9th, it starts at 6 p.m. at City Hall. You can email the city council from our website or Keith Abraham. He's been on KHOI this week, letting people know that he is taking input as well about thoughts about the indoor aquatic center site. We're looking at both the site north of the DOT on what a lot of people call the old St. Cecilia's school site, as well as a potential location at O'Neill Park with a replacement park developed to the west. So the two options at this point, and the council wants to hear from the entire community. We've met with the neighborhood and have taken input from the neighborhood, now looking to broaden that reach into the entire community.
Yeah, really an important city council meeting coming up next Tuesday that I hope people are giving that a lot of good thought.
Yeah, and now I really think that it's a great opportunity today for Mary and Bill to give kind of an overview of Rummage Rampage and what's left to come.
Welcome to Local Talk, Mary Rankin.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, it has been, oh my goodness, we're on day 8 today. And the last 7 days have been, oh my goodness, so busy. We've seen so many things. We've had such wonderful outpouring from the community, both in volunteering and in shopping and in donating. I think we have easily turned over the ramp at least 4 times as far as the different types of material coming in and then leaving. Everyone, I think part of our motto really could be everyone has a treasure at Rummage Rampage, because I think everyone that comes shopping finds something that, oh my goodness, takes them down memory lane of childhood memories, things they've been looking for years. I've heard that from so many people. I've been looking for this. I haven't been able to find it. And here it is. So it's just been an incredible week. And, you know, listening to your guests that were on just before us, I think we can really relate a lot to the calls in the middle of the night, the last minute requests, and just all the wonderful, wonderful outpouring, particularly from our volunteers, which has included you, Pat Schlarbaum. We have seen you at the ramp.
Yeah, well, we all tried to pitch in, that's for sure. And that was quite a day of receiving all the items. The parking ramp went from relatively vacant to, holy cow, there's a lot of things that came here that are not going to the landfill. So, it's all very special. And you seem to be holding up well, Mary Rankin and Susan. As far as putting in a big week for the city, but our heartfelt gratitude goes out to you guys.
I'd really like Bill to talk a little bit about why this event is so important to the city and the waste diversion aspect of it.
Okay. Welcome, Bill Schmidt.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you again. I know you've been at the helm, and it's been a big week for you, but how gratifying is it? Why is this event so important to Ames?
It's so important because there are certain items that just aren't beneficial to the waste energy system. A lot of those items are the furniture, the housewares. Those items, as you expressed earlier, they're going to pretty much go directly to the landfill. A lot of those items have good useful lives left to them. And as we look at sustainability here within the community and through resource recovery, we want to divert as much material from the landfill as we can and put it to good beneficial reuse. And through the help of some fantastic, wonderful volunteers, I mean, we've had some pretty warm days today or this past week, and they've really, really been out there supporting it. They all have a smile on their face, greeting the customers, helping the customers purchase those items, find what they're looking for. And it's just a really good way of making sure that we're utilizing our natural resources properly, rather than just kind of a one-time use and throwing away in landfill. This puts a lot of good items back out there into the community so that they can do more good.
More good indeed, and even some heart-touching, heartwarming stories. There was a quilt that was brought to the site and then sold and then relocated. Anybody want to tell me about the quilt story?
I would pass that baton to Susan. She was so instrumental in spreading the word and really utilizing impactfully the power of social media to reunite this wonderful family heirloom.
So I really only have half the story, but I will tell you that Ann Taylor, who works at Dogtown university marketing company had contacted both Mary and I to mention that her sister had accidentally donated a quilt through a whole sequence of events. Moving, the box got mixed in with other boxes. The quilt got donated. It was a beautiful quilt, ended up in our antique and unique finds area. I remember the morning selling the quilt. The woman was delighted to find it. It really was a nice piece of handiwork. And we were thinking that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
But we got contacted by Anne, who said that was an accident, that didn't mean to go there. Was there any way we could get her sister's quilt back? And so I was all ready to post something on our social media where Mary said, I have a picture of the quilt, which was so shocking because it was gone. We didn't have a picture. And Mary went through her phone and found a picture she had taken the night before. So we posted the picture, said, hey, did you actually buy this quilt? Yeah. It's missing. I didn't realize there were two quilts in the picture. Oh. So yeah. Somebody else returned a quilt in the picture. Turned out it wasn't the quilt we needed. Yeah. And we had to go through the whole situation again. The post about the missing quilt reached thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people. It was shared several thousand times. There was a lot of reaction to it. People commented a lot, which makes those posts go viral. Eventually, Bill said he was there when the quilt was returned. I actually wasn't at the ramp that day, but it came walking back in.
Well, I think the structure of your social media outreach can really be rewarded by saying that when things work out like this, it's really a wonderful thing. So thanks for all those social media contacts, I guess. You know,
yeah, I really didn't think that it would get to the right person. Now, a lot of people are not on social media, but a lot of people are.
Well, it's just really a great story. Are people still bringing in items?
Yes, people can bring in items today, actually being the last day for donations. And our event and donation opportunity starts at noon and goes to 6 p.m. And then tomorrow, no donations because it's our last day. Uh-huh. And we'll start off with everything being half price. And every hour that the event continues, the event goes from 8 a.m. to noon. We have a different discount that adds on to the half price discount to allow those items that still need to be home to have that little extra incentive to find homes before the event ends. And then at the end of the event, we do a lot of due diligence. We have already made connections with our different donation outlets in town to say if we have items left over from the event, what would benefit your missions? What do you still need within your locations? We also, of course, ask those nonprofit organizations and Iowa State student organizations if any of the leftover items will benefit their needs and missions. And then finally, we recycle all the metal, and we may have a few things that have to be landfilled, but that is never more, as in the history of our event, than 5% of the total amount that we get in. And just to give you a little bit of an indication, Lori Hansen is another one of our fabulous team members. She mentioned that she had tallied the inventory sheets that led up to every day except yesterday, and just in small items, these are the littler items down below, we'd already received 14 tons of material in small items. That's not the couches, that's not the dining room tables, that's not any of the furniture, that's just of the dishes and small appliances and little trinkets and hangers and baskets that are coming in. So we're excited for another great day today and wrapping up this this event in historic fashion. It already has proven itself historic in many ways.
And when you mentioned those different categories of people's offerings, I was really quite impressed with the camping gear and the bicycles and, like, as you say, that where the quilt went to the special antique are special items that people...
I think we have a real variety this year, maybe more so than we've had in previous years. Our footprint for the sale has been bigger this year. We've gone up the ramp really into that second level that we haven't utilized as much in the past. Oh. So well, I think the actual, the space we're taking up is bigger. The selection is certainly a very healthy selection of different things.
Yeah.
Mary mentioned the weight. Again, the way that the structure of the event is that we are looking at pounds diverted. So we're really interested in, that's how we are, that's one of the benchmks we use year after year of we weigh things that come in. So we have this sense of how much inventory we have. Bill has a whole structure for furniture where we're just doing tick marks on the number of dining room sets and couches, and we come up with average weights for those. But yeah, we're definitely higher than we've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So when those statistics are completed at the end of the week, we'll be releasing that information. But as Mary mentioned, it's going to be another record-breaking year.
Uh-huh. Well, so I think the citizens of Ames are maybe modifying their what they think is important in their lives. And we get a lot of reminders throughout the year as you promote the Rummage Rampage. And having that little corner of the basement to set things aside and move things along. It's a structure that you're providing that has so many redeeming, beautiful qualities for a vibrant community like Ames to recycle, reuse, repurpose, and divert from the landfill.
Yeah, Pat, I think that's a great point. I think Bill's division does a fabulous job of promoting year-round waste diversion. Yeah. It's not just right now, but we have the food waste diversion program, the glass recycling program, household hazardous waste.
Yeah.
There are so many ways to reuse and rehome things, and throwing them away really should be the last option.
Yeah, I almost use that term viable or viability, and almost in an offhand manner, but no, it goes right to the source of our conscience of what it means to be a good citizen on a level that a community offers positive options, and we just it's very uplifting. This is just a tremendous story.
Yeah, we're really glad that you're going to help. That KHOI is one of our organizations. We had record number of organizations involved this year, 41 organizations who will be splitting the proceeds from this event.
Mm-hmm.
I still get people as we work the register who say, where does this money go?
Yeah.
Thinking that the city of Ames is taking it. And I want to be really clear, we provide the foundational support, but all the funds raised at this event go back to the organizations that send volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of organizations getting involved has continued to increase year after year. We could not do this event without the volunteer help. It takes a lot from Bill's schedule, Mary's schedule, my schedule, Lori's Hansen at Resource Recovery. We have some really faithful, loyal volunteers, Stan Raby and Melissa Murray, Rob Ballack, who've been with us for years. I shouldn't name people because I'm going to miss them, that's who comes together and makes this event happen.
Yeah.
And in the end, we're happy to distribute those funds back into the community.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a wonderful story, again, and a wonderful structure that you're providing the Ames community. And any people that you might have left out, we can bring this up next week when you return to Local Talk, and we'll be talking about 2023. A Rummage Rampage and how to build on this success that you're exhibiting, and you walk our good environmental talk, Bill Schmidt and Mary Rankin and Susan Guyasta. Is there anything else?
Just reminding everyone of the event today, starting at noon, going to 6. It's still opportunity to bring your items in. And also want to give a big shout out for those wonderful unintended support pieces from our community. A longtime shopper at Rummage Rampage has brought watermelon to our volunteers the last couple of days. And we also received popsicles one day when it was so hot. So we just give a big shout out to all the many ways our community supports this event, and we offer our deepest gratitude.
Well, that's words to live by there. Deepest gratitude. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks,
Smith.
Pat.
Yeah. And thank you, Mary you. Rankin.
Summer's out of reach, empty lake, empty streets, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, though I know you're not home. But I can see your brown skin shining in the sun. You got your hair combed back and your sunglasses on, baby. Forget those nights, I wonder if it was a dream. Remember how you made me crazy, remember how I made you scream. Now I don't understand what happened to our love. But babe, I'm gonna get you back, I'm gonna show you what I'm made of. I can see you, your brown skin shining in the sun. I see you walking real slow and smiling at everyone. Little voice inside my head said, don't look back, you can never look back. I thought I knew what love was, what did I know? Those days are gone forever, I should just let them go. But I can see you, your brown skin shining in the sun.
More Boys of Summer with First Aid Kit. Let's welcome Jess Soderstrom from ISU Extension, Story County. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again this week.
It's wonderful having you with us. So we'll learn more about ISU Extension. You've had your county fair.
Yes. We wrapped up our county fair on July 24th, and now really it's just preparing for state fair activities that Story County 4-H'ers will participate in. So it's been a busy summer so far.
What? Yeah. Oh, very. It always is very busy. But I'm curious about any highlights, any new 4-H projects that kind of caught your eye this year.
Oh, geez. I am always just so amazed by the things that 4-H'ers and FFA exhibitors come up with to exhibit at the county fair. I think a lot of people, when they think of county fairs, they think of the typical livestock shows for their cattle, their pigs, their sheep, you know, and then those
sure.
smaller animals, too, with
sure.
rabbits and chickens. And those are always fun to see, and it's always fun. I always appreciate the hard work that 4-H'ers put into those exhibits throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite, I love the livestock shows, don't get me wrong, but my favorite is walking through the exhibits building. So those are the static non-animal exhibits that 4-H'ers bring their,
sure.
It could be their sewing, their baking, woodworking, you know, there's a multitude of things. But I think this year my favorite was one of the state fair exhibits that was selected to represent Story County at the state fair. And someone had recreated a vintage wedding gown, and they had sewn it from scratch, and it included a little jacket and a veil, and oh my gosh, it was amazing, the fact that a young person could do that and do it so well.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's exactly what I was curious about. So someone is carrying on a legacy, undoubtedly, with apparel, but to focus on a wedding dress, wow, that's pretty cool. What is what's the average age of your exhibitors, do you suppose? Or when do people initiate 4-H activities?
So you can join 4-H as a fourth grader. We do have opportunities for Clover Kids, which is our K through third grader. But to compete at the county level and at the state level, you must be in fourth grade or fifth grade for state. So I would really say, I think the first few years, a lot of 4-H'ers bring a lot of exhibits because they're excited and they want to try everything and participate in everything. Then as they get a little older, they hone their interests a little bit more and they start focusing on a specific project area or a couple of project areas rather than trying everything. I don't know that we have an average age. We have opportunity for 4th through 12th grade, so we've got a pretty wide variety.
Yeah. That sure is. That sure is.
Yes.
I also like the crafts because it's always changing, it seems, when you visit those, when you walk through the displays, and you're going to see something that you probably did not anticipate seeing that's really going to matter.
Yes.
Make a big difference in somebody else's in their lives, but it kind of has a positive impact on ours too.
Oh, definitely. I think there's definitely some trends that we see in static exhibits. You know, some years are prepared food exhibits. We have a lot of a specific thing, or like a lot of quick breads, for example, or something like that. But year to year, it definitely changes. And the creativity that you get to see in the exhibits that 4-H'ers put together is just amazing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me. No, go ahead. Excuse me.
I was just going to say, when you said that you can inspire other people, that is definitely so true. I was a 4-H'er growing up, and I know that when we would go to other county fairs as a family or visit the state fair, my mom would walk through and take pictures of exhibits that she was really wowed by, and either as, you know, inspiration for her daughters for future 4-H projects, or even just like home DIY things. She's like, oh, that's a really good idea. I never thought of doing that. It's a fun thing for people visiting the fair too, to maybe get some new ideas for themselves.
4-H becomes a way of life.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So how many 4-H chapters are there in Story County?
We have, so Story County is a little, I would say, different or unique than other counties, because our Clover Kids, so those K through third graders, actually belong to a club. A lot of times in counties, you'll see that in after-school programs or in a group based out of the county office. So we have quite a few clubs that are led by adult volunteers that youth members can be involved in. And we have over 20. The number kind of changes from year to year because sometimes a club will close or we'll get a new one. But this year at the Story County Fair, we had 11 clubs represented in the static exhibit building. And I would say probably 15 represented with livestock exhibits.
I see.
So it definitely varies. Yeah.
But larger than I would have anticipated.
Yes. Yeah. So Story County is, we are number one in the entire state of Iowa for 4-H membership. So we have the most members in of 4-H'ers out of any other county. Mm-hmm. And there is actually 100 county offices because of Pottawatomie is split into two because it's so large. So we are very proud of that, and it's reflected in exhibitor entries at our county fair and with, yes, with our club numbers too. We have quite a large population of 4-H members living in Story County.
Well, what
very excited and proud.
Yeah, and as you should be, that's a wonderful reflection on the ISU Extension Story County focus. Do you have any other upcoming events or things we need to bring up at this time?
Yeah, so with the end of County Fair and the end of August, August is the last month of our 4-H program year, and then we kind of start over in September. So that is September 1st is when our enrollment opens for the 2022-2023 4-H program year. We run very similar to a school year, if that helps people remember. Mm-hmm. And even if a 4-H'er, if a young person was enrolled in a club last year, they do have to complete that re-enrollment process. And this is also when we are recruiting for new members to hopefully get them involved in the 4-H program and open opportunities for other young people. So that's really my primary focus for the next few months.
Okay.
We call that our recruitment and retention month. So,
sure.
But if anybody listening is interested in joining 4-H or even just learning more about it, I know we talked a lot about the Story County Fair, but there are countless opportunities for young people to be involved in. So if anyone is interested, they can contact me. My name is Jess Soderstrom. I'm the County 4-H Youth Coordinator for Story County Extension. Our office is based in Ames, so you can drop into our office or you can give us a call or you can send me an email as well. I'll give you our phone number. It's 515-337-1601.
And your website?
It is extension.iastate.edu/story.
Well, thank you so much, Jess Soderstrom, for strengthening our youth in Story County and all over Iowa. And enjoy the state fair.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we are looking forward to it. Hopefully we get some cooler weather for those couple weeks.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there will be a big storm, usually around August 12th or so. But anyway, enjoy the fair. Thank you so much for being on Local Talk, Jess Soderstrom.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. See you next month.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. KHOY Local Talk is a training workshop as well as a show. If you have interest in joining the Local Talk team, the welcome mat is out here at 622 Douglas Avenue. Contact us at 515-292-2878 or where KHOY is the heart of Iowa. We are streaming live on our website, khoifm.org. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to that website and find the yellow donate button. KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Thank you, Local Talk producer Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday News of the Week. And thanks to our guests, Renee Kloss, Mary Rankin, Bill Schmidt, Susan, and Jess Soderstrom. And particularly thank you, Susan Guiasta, Public Information Officer for the City of Ames. And thank you, Mike Murphy, for engineering this program. And thank you for all you do for KHOI Community Radio. I have been your host for this hour, Pat Schlarbaum. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from the CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other artists you heard were First Aid Kit. They did Emmylou and Boys of Summer. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! And Adagio at 9 a.m. And hoping you have a great weekend, enjoying some hot summer weather at the Gilbert Days. Hoping it's good for the corn, too. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.